B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
All right, like I said before the headlines, 30 minutes left here, Gasper and Murray this week. 98.5 The Sports Hub coming to you from the Town Fair Tire Studio. And something just caught Chris's eye as I was perusing Twitter here. Opened up today talking about, I said I wanted to kiss LeBron on the lips because LeBron James, after last night's win over the Milwaukee Bucks in what many were calling the game of the regular season, game of the year in the NBA, and the Lakers win, and just proof again, even if you just see the highlights, LeBron James is still truly the best player in the NBA. Like, love you, Giannis Antetokounmpo, but you're not LeBron. But LeBron, like many players, find out after the game that the NBA sends out this missive to all the teams, basically saying, like, batten down the hatches, coronavirus is growing, the fear is growing, we may now start having to play games in front of nobody. To which LeBron, and I'm paraphrasing, basically said, F that, no, the people need to see LeBron. It was very LeBron.
It was very LeBron-centric, yes.
And that it was me, it's all about me, I'm the king, the people come to see the king and bow to the king, they need the king.
The king doesn't play in front of an empty arena. It was pretty much.
But I want to kiss him on the lips because I do think it's crazy. Like, leave it up to the fans and have them, you know, make the decisions. If you want to declare martial law, the government, then just do that. You know, like they did in mainland China. But for the most part, I think a lot of this is just madness. I really do. And if I'm wrong, whatever. If I get it and I go, I've had a good run. But Chris, this just stood out to you. This is where it's starting to, like, get really nuts. Coronavirus fears leading to price gouging on hand sanitizer and face masks. The quote, they're taking advantage of people. Oh, you think? So apparently in New York, so a couple of things here. Online sales of virus protection products have skyrocketed up to 817% in the last couple of months.
Whoa.
If you were to go just about anywhere, whether you're in a major metropolitan city like Manhattan, or even if you go to like Saugus, you walk into Walgreens, a CVS, whatever, yeah, you ain't going to find any. You're not going to find Purell.
It's all gone.
You're not going to find the disinfecting wipes.
Yep.
It's all gone. The water part I don't get. Like the paranoia and you want the Clorox wipes and all that kind of stuff, fine. Like I understand it. I think a lot of it's overblown personally, but I understand. The water? Your sink still works. The water's not infected. Like, calm down, people. Jesus. But now the gouging has begun. And, what it is. There's one place in New York that is selling two bottles of advanced hand sanitizer by Purell, two of the medium-sized bottles for $299.95. Like, what are we
That's
doing?
That's unbelievable.
More here. Two large bottles of Purell on sale for $2.99 on Amazon. That size normally sells for about $9 a bottle. Another listing of four boxes of masks, usually about $20, being sold for more than $1,000.
For masks?
Yeah, for masks. So apparently New York City is issuing $500 fines to any stores found price gouging starting this week. Many health officials also say that the masks don't even help. They're a good idea for people that are already sick, so you don't infect others, but wearing a mask will not stop you from getting this virus.
Great.
People are losing their minds.
So I said this to you off the air. I'll say it on the air. The next step to this is people prohibition style trying to make their own hand sanitizer in their bathtub and blowing up their house.
Right. Yeah.
Amateur chemists.
Yeah. Alcohol and fire on a stove. What could go wrong?
Yeah. That is like the next step here. People trying to make their own, you know, like homemade hand sanitizer and blowing up stuff.
But it does feel like, so, and we said it earlier, that, you know, the tipping point that I feel like that was pretty big was that the South by Southwest Festival, which has been going on for decades in Austin, Texas, gets canceled, which, again, to me, well, you're not a scientist. No, I know. But I try to apply common sense in these increasingly crazy times. No stopping what can't be stopped, to me. So, I don't know. Live your lives. Go on. And what I worry about is economic collapse, this affecting jobs and money, which it obviously already is when this big festival has been canceled. And you see this is going to cost Austin, Texas, and their tourism there and those that usually go to this, I mean, to the tune of close to $300 million. And it's, you know, everyday Joes that are being affected by this. And so that's why I think the panic and the craziness about, like, telling fans to stay home, you're still going to play these games, like, that's going to affect a lot of people and their bottom line and their ability to, like, live their day-to-day lives and pay rent. So I think you should leave it up to the fan whether or not they want to go. But in regard to it being a tipping point and how it affects sports, Chris, like, you're going to be shocked if they cancel – oh, I don't know, the NFL draft in what is what, 2 months, a month and a half in Vegas?
As of now, they're saying it's going to go on. But yeah, I'm sure there's some sort of contingency plan. All these leagues are coming up with contingency plans due to coronavirus.
What about the Final Four? You know, that's being held in Atlanta. Like, yep. With the South by Southwest thing happening and now the NBA putting out that missive last night, it's like, this is where this is headed, huh? Like, Feels real panicky to me. And what do I know? And I know many of, because believe me, I've seen the mentions, because I, as soon as that missive went out from Shams Charania, who was reporting it from The Athletic last night, I was like, this truly is to me some of the proof again, we're living in the dumbest time.
Yo, I saw that. Yeah.
You don't know. You, a scientist, you know better than the world. I don't. And if I get it and I go, again, I've had a good run. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I just, the way it's being handled, especially by a lot of the local news, and they use the ominous voice guy, and they put all the graphics of the scary-looking virus.
Cough till you drop.
Yeah. Someone sneezed in Orono, Maine. Story next. Ooh. Like, it's just, can you handle it a little bit more with responsibility? I think it's adding to the madness of people running out to the stores and buying up all the disinfecting wipes and the Clorox and the price gouging and all of this.
$299. That blows me away.
$299.
Like, that's insane. Like, you know, I have to say.
Holy crap, man.
It reminds me of that Simpsons. Like, there's a Simpsons.
Oh, the hurricane chow?
Chow. No, it's the one. I can't remember exactly what happens, but Kent Brockman goes, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Democracy simply doesn't work. I would change that to say, I've said it before, I'll say it again, capitalism simply doesn't work. Like, $2.99 for a bottle of hand sanitizer? Are you kidding me? Oh, my God.
I mean,
wow.
I'm all for cashing in and getting that money.
I get it. You know, supply side economics and everything, supply and demand, but get out of here. Like, honestly, you know, they should quarantine whoever's trying to charge $2.99 right. for hand sanitizer.
And people, by and large, suck. I also am part of the problem. But how do you live with yourself at night when you try to gouge someone $299? It's like those that go down to, like, hurricane-affected areas. Like, I got this generator here.
Yeah.
How much are you selling it for? $2,000. Well, what? You spent $300 for it. We need it. We need help. We need electricity. Electricity. Oh, okay. $3,000 then.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like, have you ever seen the movie 2012 with John Cusack?
No.
Okay. So basically what happens is it's the end of the world. You know, it's apocalyptic times. But it turns out that the government's known about it all along. And, like, all these rich people and celebrities are being put on these, like, gigantic boats called, like, arcs that will be able to sustain and survive the rapid, basically, climate change and the shifting of the tectonic plates that is happening. And that's basically the whole thing. It's like people have these tickets to get on these life-saving boats, and, like, it's just rich people.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where we're headed. Like, you know, when the cure comes out, or whenever they find a cure for this, or whenever they're able to come out with a way to inoculate people, the vaccine, it will be like
goes
that.
Goes to the elites.
Like, but, and I'm not saying this in a negative way. I am very glad that Magic Johnson is still alive. But do you think anybody else who had HIV at the time he contracted it would still be like, he's alive because he's rich.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And famous.
Chris, I could do like 5 hours on Magic Johnson and how he's healthier and fatter than ever. Like, and he has had that for 30 years
yeah.
now?
Which is great. I mean, I'm glad that there's those advances in but is it available to everyone?
That might be the most under-talked story in the history of mankind.
Yeah, it's unreal.
It's this scourge disease that was had everybody, for. I mean, you and I are old
enough
like
to remember
the panic, the AIDS panic, and nobody knew, and how, you know, people were crazed about that in the 80s and because there was such a lack of information, and it's what's happening now in a lot of ways with the coronavirus. And Magic Johnson, you know, that felt like a death sentence.
Yeah.
You remember that press conference that day? Like, people, like, openly weeping, and sports fans and Lakers fans, like, he's going to be dead in a year. He's healthier and fatter than ever. Like, they've apparently found the cure, and it's just like, no, it's just Magic Johnson. He's fine. Like, it blows my mind that people don't talk about that more.
And
it's just because he's rich.
I'm still very saddened by, you know, what happened with Kobe Bryant, and it's still shocking to me, and I'm around Kobe's age, and it's just devastating. But and so I don't say this in any way to demean his loss. But, I mean, think of it this way. Magic Johnson has outlived Kobe Bryant.
Right.
No, I mean, that's shocking.
Yeah.
For those of us who were alive when, I mean, I still can tell you exactly where I was when I found out that Magic Johnson
Same.
Had contracted HIV. I remember I was at basketball practice at my church, and it was, like, devastating. And he's, as you said, he's still alive. And that's great. I'm happy about that and the medical advancement. But anybody else who I think contracted it, the time he contracted it, I don't think they had quite the same odds.
But 30 years later, after whatever he's been treated by,
yeah.
which at that time and maybe for the last 20 or so years
yeah.
could only have been afforded by someone that has his level of wealth, don't you think the medical community has found that and been able to process that, whatever that treatment is, to make it more readily
so.
Available and a cheaper option for people?
I hope so.
You'd think.
But how long did it take, though? Again,
right.
like, you know,
but
10
now
years,
people just again look at him and say, eh, it's Magic Johnson.
Like, yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. And I think it'd be the same thing with, can I, before, because we probably should take some phone calls, although I know we have a break coming. I have to, do you know what my real fear with coronavirus is? That we're going to rush some sort of cure or vaccine, and that it's going to, like, make it worse. And it's going to be like World War Z, or these zombie shows, or the actual movie Contagion, which I've seen many times, that it's going to, like, mutate the virus from something that's basically, like, a really bad strain of the flu into, like, the thing from Contagion where people are just, like, dropping dead left and right.
You've now referenced three crap movies I'll never see in the last 15 minutes and talking
about
this.
That's my special talent.
Well, no, so this is, I wonder if my lack of, so I initially was paranoid about
okay.
it. When it broke in China about, whatever, 2 months ago,
yeah.
I was like, crazed, and had my whole Alex Jones conspiracy theory, like, it's weaponized, like, they're coming for us, it's the pot-bellied perverts, and all that.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
did think something was up.
Okay.
And now it's reached a level of, like, annoyance with me. I'm going to live my life, I'm going to spend that money, I'm going to try to prop up the economy, I'm going to
yeah.
still go out to eat all the time.
Yeah.
But maybe my lack of paranoia really comes down to the fact, I haven't seen all these crap movies you people have all seen. Have you seen Contagion? It's just like Contagion. Have you seen World War Z? No. And I don't
In
care to.
2012?
No, don't know that one either.
Yeah,
so maybe that's what it is. Maybe I need to get caught up with the bad movies
yeah.
so that I can be as freaked out like the rest of you a-holes.
yeah, you, bad movies, you know who to come to.
Oh, yeah. Walks in today, so wrapping up show prep and whatnot. Have you seen the new Spencer for Hire with Mark Wahlberg?
Spencer, like, Confidential.
Jesus Christ. Like, how long have we known each other? Like, I could be dying of coronavirus, and I'd still rather stare at a wall than watch
well,
that.
Well, when you're quarantined, all you're going to have is Netflix, so you're going to have to watch it.
I'd still find something else. I'm not what. I liked Spencer for Hire when I was a kid. I don't like, they keep ruining all the great stuff from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And yeah, I grew up in Dorchester. Now you should watch Spencer. I shouldn't say. They're actually advertising. You should watch it. Watch Spencer. Yes, it's
See,
a great,
that's what I was trying to say.
Great movie. Mark Wahlberg, America's finest actor. He's the man's a national treasure. All right, one segment to go. Kind of loose here, obviously. It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, 8 minutes to go in Gasper Murray here at 98.5, the Sports Hub, as we are being preempted by New England Revolution home opener against the Chicago Fire down at Gillette Stadium this afternoon with a 1:30 kickoff there. The debut of a new PA guy, by the way, our very own Mike Sarge Riley in his dulcet tones, the new PA guy down. Welcome to Gillette Stadium. Stadium. That's a
Oh, my God, that sounded just like it.
It's a perfect gig for him. He did it for the... So I had worked for the Cannons, the lacrosse
yes.
team. It's kind of like the on-field host a
yeah.
few years back,
cool.
and Sarge did the PA for them. I don't know if he still does. But, man, like that is just the perfect gig with that voice. And I myself, if I may pat myself on the back, I've been a PA guy in the past for the now-defunct Boston Breakers, the women's pro soccer team.
Very
Maybe
cool.
they're still around. They had like 9 different permutations of them. Which was always a fun gig. Great fun gig. So good for Sarge, and be listening for him today over there. Also did it for, you're a Lynn guy. Remember when the North Shore Spirit were
yes,
around? That independent
did, yeah.
league team?
I once took a date to a North Shore Spirit game.
I almost got a fight with an ump when I was the PA guy
Oh,
there.
I think you told me about this.
yeah. So, like, you know, baseball and all their stupid unwritten rules. there was I announced a change, you know, like you know, now in left field, whatever. I announced it before the a-hole ump, this hardo ump, like did his hand motions, and he turned around after I made the announcement and gave like the what's up, let's go like thing, like the arms wide open, like. You got to be effing kidding me.
Like, and then WTF.
And I got up, and like, I'm younger. I'm in my 20s and a complete, like, fired up hardo a-hole myself. And I get up, and I too was like, what's up? You want to go? And everyone else in the booth were like, what are you doing? And I'm like, F this guy, this effing up. Like, who does he think? You're the PA guy. Stupid umps and then you, Independent League Baseball. Go screw. Oh, I hate officials.
And then in typical Jim fashion, in late 90s, early 2000s, Jim faxed him a threat.
A story we won't get into at this time. How I once got fired from two jobs simultaneously from a bomb threat fax, which would literally, if I were to do in 2020, I would be in prison.
You would be in prison. Yeah, no question about it.
Did it as a joke? Who knew? Who knew that when you faxed in 1994 that the phone number from which you faxed from actually is on the fax you sent? Hey, lesson learned, right? Mike in Wakefield, you're next here on Gaspar Martin. Hello.
Gentlemen,
yes.
Has anybody checked in on patient zero, Wellesley, yet?
Oh, Mike, no. I don't know what the deal is. I hope he's back on Monday, but I don't know what's going on there.
You know what? I hope everything's all well with his family, but the fact that the wood probably has to be stuck with him, oh, I feel bad for her even more. So what I wanted to say was, first of all, with the coronavirus, you remember that Bill Burr rant with, like, I'm so pro swine flu, it's not even funny. You know, get the population down to about 1 billion people. Super Bowl comes around. We all get to go. That theory. I think we're in for a good plague. I could use a little couple more lanes on the highway opening up.
Yeah. All right, on Mike. Look, I'm not.
I don't know.
Certainly not rooting for death. And it is. I can understand.
That's morbid.
People, can understand people's concern. People have now died from this here. I just think it's being a little bit overblown. Just my opinion. Yeah. Again. Well, you're not a doctor. You're not in the World Health Organization. Yeah, no, I know. I just think the news tends to be a wee bit hypey, is all. Jack and Marlboro on Kemba Walker and his gimpy knee. Go ahead.
How you guys doing?
Good, what's up?
Good, Jack.
I am a musician. I did lose a gig this week because of the virus.
No kidding, really?
In Boston, you had a big venue. Yep, they canceled it.
Ugh. Oh, that sucks for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so I lost some money. Cost me money already. But Kemba Walker, watching him last night, he kept driving in, and he's like, and Perk said the guy's 8'6". Gobert is,
yeah,
like,
right, yeah, Rudy Gobert, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm wondering what's up with that. After a couple, you'd think he wouldn't have done it anymore. I don't know. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I mean, Rudy Gobert is, you know, one of the best defensive players in the league. I believe he's the reigning defensive player of the year, and this is the problem for a lot of these little guys, whether it's Isaiah Thomas or Kyrie or Kemba Walker. If you get any sort of injury that in any way hampers your explosiveness or ability to elevate, it's a lot harder to get your shots off.
Yeah, and Gobert, I don't know, that made no sense to me. He just looks, I know he was talking up that he felt better.
Yeah.
I don't buy it for a second. He hasn't been right since that All-Star game. Had to play those precious 30-some-odd minutes, though. Very important. It was the one thing that he's done here so far that has annoyed me. I never, considering how, you know, he'd only missed, I think, 6 games in the last 6 years or something like that. It was a minuscule number. And now we're up to 13, 14, whatever it is. Like, injury concern for Kemba Walker. I mean, crazy things can happen, but I would have never thought that that would have been a thing that would have been an issue with Kemba Walker here in his first year.
I would not have either. And just this one's just for Felgi, if he's still quarantined. We didn't have time to talk about this today, but this piece Michael Lombardi had in The Athletic, there's some money Jimmy G quotes in here that I know Felgi would agree with.
What was the impetus of this?
Basically, he's saying the 49ers, you know, should take a flyer on Brady.
Okay.
And so one of the quotes in here from Lombardi, he writes, I could imagine Kyle Shanahan telling people in the organization that either Nick Mullins or C.J. Beathard could do what Garoppolo does. Maybe not as good, but close enough. That one's for you, Felgi.
That sounds like you, too. You had said during the season they could get the same kind of production out of someone like C.J. Beathard, who they have on their
roster.
Here's
another one quickly. Even during their successful 2019 season, there was a sense at times that Shanahan was just trying to make sure Garoppolo didn't lose the games instead of letting him go win them. And after the Super Bowl loss, you can only imagine this has gotten slightly more distant.
And that's a Belichick's Bobo saying that about.
That's a guy who was there when Jimmy G was with the Patriots. And Mike Lombardi. So that one's for you, Felgi, if you're quarantined and listening.
And hopefully you're back on Monday. Like, so, and boy, this whole thing. Boy, I will say this. as much as I do think a lot of this is overhyped, they weren't kidding a few weeks back when you did hear from the World Health Organization, like, people need to prepare for disruption in their lives. Oh, yeah, no, that's already just begun here.
Yeah.
As you know, kids getting taken out of school, the parents might be affected, so that's why Felger has to stay home. And now, like, it's just, you can't find the Clorox wipes without someone trying to charge you $600 for a bottle of them. It's gone crazy, and it's just going to get more nuts.
You got to see that Contagion movie, Jim.
I won't. I'm just going to keep living my life. I'm going out to dinner tonight because I will continue to prop up the economy and keep spending that money. I would implore you to do the same. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Talk to you on Monday with Felger and Mass, I hope. So we'll see. See you then. Otherwise, enjoy the New England Revolution, their first match at home this season, coming up next with the Chicago Fire. For Chris Gasper, Jim Murray signing off. Oh, thanks to B-Rob as well. Have a good one, bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.